This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Hi there, and welcome to Letters with George. I'm your host, Owner George, and Ryan and Matt are football guys. And I want you to know we're looking forward to minicamp. Boy, it's going to be a great season. We'll see our new quarterback, Ronnie Fields. He's going to be out there today. It's going to be great to see Ronnie Fields and what he does for our Chicago Bears. Well, we've get letters from far and wide talking about this Chicago Bears team. I like this one. Come on! Like this one. Alex from Aurora. Alex says, "Dear George, I'm looking forward to the season." Well, that's great. I am as well. "I was wondering, with the changes made to the team, will you be putting in new grass, new sod for the Chicago Bears? It's absolutely f***ing embarrassing that my favorite team plays on that slop. Fix it, George." Signed, Alex and Aurora. Heavens to Murgatroyd. Dear Alex, thank you so much for your letter. I want you to know that Mom and I do a great job filling the holes on the surface. It's very safe, and there will be no major injuries. Fingers crossed. George. Go Bears. Well, we'll just pull this letter up real nice. Put it in an envelope. Seal it up. And send it off to the courier. Thanks so much. And go Bears! Hee-haw!
Wow. Still unbelievable. We don't carry the games. We blast them a lot. And he agreed to do this awesome segment. Heavens to Murgatroyd.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting, JR. There are no I's in Go Bears. He seems like he's dotting I's that are not there.
Yeah, a lot of dots. A lot of really sharp, blunt.
You notice that?
There.
You
yeah.
notice that?
I was more concerned that if I was Alex and Aurora, the slop and slobber yeah. as he sealed up the envelope.
Well, you know, got to make sure it's sealed.
He struggled to get the letter out of the envelope. Did you hear that?
Yes, there's a little frustration there. I can understand. But, listen, it's great, and even Alex and Aurora knows that it's a big day for the Chicago Bears, and so does George. He sounds excited. It's good to know that him and Mom always just drop the grass seeds and take care of the sod at Soldier Field.
Who's got the shovel and who's got the wheelbarrow in that situation?
I think we know which one's which.
George, we need to work on the field at Hallis. So we were going to get a landscape company in. How much? Well, it's expensive. Mom and I will take care of it. We've got it.
Go to Handy Andy.
They've got a sale at Menards. Go pick up the grass seed.
Oh, the man. Crafty Beaver.
Crafty Beaver. That's great.
You were harder than the beaver last night, Ward. You were saying?
Anyway, I'm ecstatic that they've got Justin Fields. And somebody tweeted at me and said, "Can one draft pick undo all this angst that you guys have had?" Yes, it can. Yes, it absolutely can. Now, I'm not telling you he's Michael Jordan, but when the Bulls drafted Michael Jordan, what were they as a franchise?
Nothing.
A clown show.
Yeah. A traveling cocaine circus.
I was a vendor there. My brother and I were vendors as we were getting through school. You basically had your own season ticket holder that you served.
Mm-hmm.
There were like 900 people at the stadium. People forget this. And it was the traveling cocaine circus. The late Quentin Daly, the late Orlando Woolridge. Like, You had all these issues.
I mean, shout out to Reggie Theus, my guy. I'm just saying, though, that when Jordan came, the fortunes changed. People started coming.
One guy.
Yeah, it
changed.
Took one guy. Yeah.
You're telling me that if Justin Fields isn't what they believe he can be, that doesn't change the perspective of the team?
Of course.
And the franchise and the city? Come on, man.
It goes to our poll question at Cap J Hood on Twitter and Instagram. When will Justin Fields start for the Bears? Week 1 through 4, week 5 through 9, week 10 through 17, no starts this year. 41% of you that voted said week 1 through 4. And as Cap and I have told you, through the first four games of the season, it feels like 3-1, at worst 2-2. Would you pull the trigger on Andy Dalton if he is a starter, if the team's winning? I see it very winnable. The only loss I saw in the first four was the Cleveland game.
Mm-hmm.
Only because I just think they're more potent offensively.
I think Cleveland has a real chance to make a deep, deep run. I think the best team in the AFC is the Buffalo Bills. I do. Kansas City still has offensive line issues.
Mm-hmm.
Much as I love Kyle Long, he's a good dude. He hasn't played. Now you're going to give him, he's been hunting injury reserve how many times? I hope to God he has an all-pro season. I do. I love the guy. But all the injuries he's dealt with, you're bringing over a guy coming off an Achilles injuries, Eric Fisher, who couldn't play in the Super Bowl, and he's going to be back to be your blindside protector for Patrick Mahomes day one? Not so sure. So we'll see.
So you asked before the break about load management possibly coming to the NFL.
Correct.
Now, I told you, just rewind the clock. I told you at the time, I said, I'm going to be the minority on this particular opinion. Well, actually, all opinions on this show. But I'm not going to be the minority on this opinion, and wow. That is...
You always make me laugh.
So it's not intentional. But it's just that 17 games, Cap, mm-hmm. It seems excessive. But I understand the NFL, they want to have their money. This is the latest we're going to see the regular season into January 9th. Okay, so I get it. I know it's because of the money. You don't really the player should be paid more for this extra game, but it or not. But load management could be a thing here, where it could be not just one game, could be two if you've already clinched.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine, man, a week and a half or 2 weeks of football where you don't see your starters on a regular basis down in, down out? That very well could be with these extra games.
Especially if your team is either way up the track. I mean, let's assume that, pick a team that we don't think is going to be very good. Houston,
yep.
Okay, let's assume they get Deshaun Watson back.
Mm-hmm.
And they are 3-11.
Mm-hmm. That's likely.
You putting him back out there every game the rest of the way? If he's got a nagging injury? You're like, that's our franchise quarterback. Why am I putting him through in harm's way?
But as a fan, as a season ticket holder, or if you get that one chance to go to a game, like, where's my guy? He's not here? How come he's not playing? You know, I paid good money to see these players play. Where are they?
Right.
Especially in the NFL, 17 weeks. Now, the NBA, a sport that I love the NBA, but the NBA has really done a disservice to its fans.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're in a pandemic, so we're not going to have like the full amount of fans in a stadium now this year. But if you're an NBA fan, you say, man, I'm in Minneapolis. I'm a Timberwolves fan, but I love watching LeBron play. LeBron's not playing? Why isn't LeBron playing? Because it's Minnesota.
Correct. It's not like he, like when he had the ankle injury, okay, he missed 6 weeks. I get it.
Sure.
That happens. No, it's your team sucks and they feel like they can win anyway, or they're so far ahead in the standings, they don't feel like they got to play him. He's not even making the trip.
You can't see him on the sidelines, man. You can't even get a glimpse of him.
Because it's not even so much the season ticket holder. But what about the guy or gal? Let's assume there's a mother out there. She's a school teacher. Or she saved all her money. Or he is a postal carrier. And he saved every paycheck a little bit. Hey, son, guess what I got us? I bought two tickets. Lakers are coming to town. LeBron's not playing. Oh. AD's not playing.
Oh.
What?
Right. You know how much that hurts?
Yes.
You're a Bulls fan.
Michael Jordan, what did he always say? I play every game as many minutes as I can for the people that paid ticket for the ticket to see me.
You know what load management was from the Jordan era? let's beat the hell out of this team so I can put ice in my knees in the fourth so we can get to the club.
Correct.
His load management is like, I'm going to play 30 minutes. We're going to beat this team by 25. All right. Hey, Fire. Mark File. Where's the... Hey, where's the ice?
Yep.
Where's the ice? Let's go. I'm not going back out there. Michael? Nope. We got them beat by 25, and they're not coming back because our bench is just as good defensively. Right. We're good. I got the ice in the knee.
But you saw me for 30 minutes.
Yeah, but at least you saw me, though, right?
Agreed. This is Teddy Bruschi on GetUp on load management. Teddy, of course, was a star with the New England Patriots, now in the media.
You know how teams value their divisional games and how important and critical they can be to winning that division, especially if it's tight. So with there being now an extra game in a 17-game regular season, do general managers and head coaches start to load manage their players so they're 100% healthy for a stretch run? I mean, in terms of the Washington football team, I mean, they play the Raiders late before they get into that divisional stretch. I mean, is there a certain player that could use an extra week of rest? I mean, is there a team, for another example, that has a 4-game lead in the division and you want to save him? I mean, these type of things now I think will start to be talked about. I mean, is there a Sunday, Thursday, a stretch of a games where it's so tight and the they look at it and it's like, man, this is a brutal stretch right here and we've got player X that's not feeling so well. So we got 17 of them now. Do we take him out of this game to make sure he's healthy? Those type of conversations in terms of load management in the NFL. I know this is usually an NBA thing and a basketball thing, but now they can start to enter the conversation possibly.
Oh, now here's the difference, Cap. It hurts the NBA. TNT game. All right, here we go. Milwaukee against, you know, Phoenix. Wait a minute. Giannis isn't playing? Click. Seriously, like from a television standpoint, the numbers are down because you don't know who's playing or not.
Correct.
It hurts the league. Adam Silver needs to control that. You need your stars in the building and on TV for primetime games. The Sunday afternoon package, the Thursday TNT package, the ESPN. For them not to play in these big games, it hurts the league. But for the NFL, though, if Tom Brady decides he's not going to play, yeah, it'll be a downer, but the league will still survive. But it's not really good for the team in general, though. Could you imagine one of these guys taking off right before the bye? In week 4, week 5, you're like, wait a minute now. You haven't clinched anything yet. Yeah, but I need the rest because we got a long stretch. If that happens in the NFL fans are going to be pretty pissed.
Especially when you have guys like Kyrie. Yeah, I don't like what's going on in the world. I'm out for 10
That's
days.
That's bad for the league.
Bad.
Now, but what if that happens?
Give your payback.
But in the NFL, Cap. If that happens in week 5, like Bruschi just laid out for you, what if it's in the middle of the season?
Right.
And players like, yeah, it's 17 weeks. I'm just going to play this week. How's that going to work? How would that make you feel as an NFL fan?
Not good. That would suck.
You only have 17 of those in the playoffs.
Correct.
You should play.
Correct. That's the one thing. You only have 17, so every game matters, division or not. We'll get to your calls. 312-332-3776. Your football calls next. Take that.
Get social with our new morning show. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
Cap and J Hood.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
So, like, the Twins stink. They got one of the worst records in baseball. But it was the Twins. And so all my Sox fan friends are like, oh boy. Are we for real? Here comes Minnesota. We're going to the Piranhas, but as Ozzy nicknamed them. And Chuck was on. Sylvie correctly blasting him for being afraid of the Twins. You had a little bit of, like yesterday I said to you, Hoodie, I'm going to bet the White House. Careful now. Careful. They've already taken the series. Careful. It's the Twins.
Mm-hmm.
Twins are bad.
Yep.
So,
but that doesn't matter when you're a White Sox fan that's been on the ass end of this rivalry for years.
Tattered piece of paper.
Had the raggedy piece of paper rolled on.
62-80 or whatever they were.
Yeah.
Since 2012. Okay. So my question for you, everybody out there, love your perspective, Hoodrow. Would you prefer to play the Green Bay Packers? You're the Chicago Bears, and they suck. they're awful. Aaron's gone. He's playing in Jeopardy land or on Denver or whoever. Or the Twins are horrible. The Cardinals stink and the Cubs are just dominating them. Or I want to beat them at their very best, but you might lose. What do you prefer?
I like it this way.
Really?
Yep, I like it this way. No, the Twins are competitive. They're just not very good. Who? You can't say a team is not competitive. They're out there to feel. They're out there to win. They're not tanking. This is not like a bad NFL team.
They thought they had a good team.
Yeah, and so but the White Sox were able to get it done. So I'm happy for it to be this way. I did not know the Twins would lay down in this series. And again, I understand it's 2021 and facts don't matter. Actually, opinion resonates with people more so than facts. I'm still old-fashioned.
Twitter.
I'm the old-fashioned guy that still likes the old facts every now and then. I throw the old facts out there, like wins and losses and issues with trying to beat a team. Yeah, I'm still old-fashioned with it. I will always lean toward the facts, things that are actually something that you can point at and say, this is real.
Like your tattered piece of paper.
Of course. Well, the tattered piece of paper, it was real, right? 1682 going in. It's like, okay, so the Twins have owned the White Sox for a long time. You think that Reinsdorf's the owner. The Twins have been the owner, too. The co-owner of the
Correct.
White Sox. But things have turned around because the team is in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you still got to play the Twins a ton more. You got to play them again this particular month. In Minneapolis. But, Cap, the point is, though, is that I'll take it right now. I've seen enough competitive Twins games in which the White Sox weren't ready for it. It's about time that we turn the tables. Okay. About time.
Okay, so Danny went to Kansas. Kansas basketball is an institution. It's one of the five probably most successful basketball programs in the history of college basketball. Danny, when you got up, smoked a little weed, had a few drinks, went over to Fog Allen Fieldhouse when you were 19, would you rather have beaten the crap out of a lousy Oklahoma State team, or did you love when pick the awesome team, Michigan State's rolling in with a great team, and you're going to see, you may lose, but what a game we're going to watch.
I prefer for my rivals to be good. Now, I think it's a little different in college because I root against the whole institution. So, like, Kansas State or Missouri were Kansas's biggest rivals when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want any of their students to graduate. And I don't want them to have successful classes. And I just root against the whole institution.
With every fiber of your being.
Yes, because I'm that petty. So it's different with college. But, like, pro-wise, right? Like, I'll use the Bears as an example. We now have Justin Fields. I truly believe in my heart that we finally found our franchise quarterback, and the Bears are on the up, right? Justin Fields is going to lead us to the promised land. Part of me wants Aaron Rodgers to stay in Green Bay so we can dance on his grave. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It would be one thing if he leaves and they're stuck with Blake Bortles or a bad Jordan Love. Okay, you know, Justin Fields is going to lead us to the promised land over a bad Packers team. It would feel better if we got to the top of the mountain and we danced on Aaron Rodgers' grave.
JR?
Peace and love. Peace and love.
Excuse me?
Isn't that Danny's line? Peace and love. I say this with peace and love.
Yes.
I don't want any of their students to graduate.
I didn't say that with peace and love. I don't mean that with peace and love. Answer the question, JR.
Yeah, JR.
I don't mind
right
when
now you're acting like Meller.
When they beat the crap out of a team.
He's going to answer the question at 10:30.
And
exactly.
Right. Tune into Carmen and Yuriko. I don't mind when they beat the crap out of a team to a point where the fan base has nothing to say. So when the team's bad and they have no comeback, yeah, I'm here for all of that.
Well, you know, it's funny when you lose so much, and we've seen a lot of losing around here. Now we have to be particular kind of the way that you want to win.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have, like, beggars can't be choosers. When you've lost a ton, I want to win, but not that way. What is that nonsense?
What are you, Jack Nicholson and a few good men?
Ultimately,
listen.
I would rather at your party, deep down inside, just appreciate your blanket of freedom or grab a, grab a gun and stand a post.
Correct.
Either way,
yes.
I don't care what you think, you are entitled to.
That's exactly right. I would rather beat the team. Doesn't matter if they're good or not. I'm here for the W.
Well, no, listen. Nobody's arguing that, right? It's your favorite team, so you want them to win every single game they play. That goes without a doubt. But, like, when the Cubs won the 2016 World Series, would it have been more gratifying if they had a stomp over the St. Louis Cardinals to get there? Of course.
No.
Of course.
It was awesome in 15 when we won that
yes.
series, beat the Cardinals. Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, it adds excitement. Not only is your team playing well, not only does your team have a chance to win it all, but your team in the process puts down the biggest rival when they're playing good. So their fan base has hope. Their fan base thinks, oh, we could beat the Cubbies. We could beat the Bears. No, you can't. And it feels better.
In 84, did you prefer to play the Mets to clinch the NL's East, or would you rather have the Pirates? With
Joe Orsolak and all those guys, that's who struck out.
Yeah, with the pitch 15 feet outside.
Remember how that pitch? it's funny you said that.
Cubs won the division.
Brett's exactly what.
Cubs won the division.
Here's a homework assignment. At break, 15 go to YouTube, feet outside. Cubs clinch 84 division, and go look at the pitch.
Is that Lee Wire behind the plate? Ooh, that Lee Wire?
Harry Wendelstedt.
Yeah.
They ring up Joe Orsolak on a Sutcliffe pit. Wasn't it Sutcliffe?
Yes.
And that pitch literally is 4 feet outside. And Orsolak looked back like, I know they're going to clinch, but really?
Cubs win the division. But if the pitch was 15 feet outside. What do you mean?
Never forget it.
What about 89 in Montreal? Would you have preferred that to be a Mets team or a Cardinals team you hate? Or the Expos?
I would rather beat the team I hate.
Well, I mean, but you got through with the Expos in 89.
Like
the boys of Zimmer.
Look, 2016 was amazing. Amazing. But, Danny, I know you feel like me. When they beat the Cardinals in the 15 playoffs, like the season was cool. They got this amazing second half run. They win 97 games. They finish third in the division. They win the wild card. They win the wild card game. Cool. When they put down those dirty Redbirds, I went, okay. Game on. It's different now.
Absolutely. I'm a little shocked at Hoodie. I feel like Hoodie sounds like a guy that's into participation trophies. Like the old saying, you've got to beat the best to be the best. Why wouldn't you want to stomp your rivals
because,
when they're playing
their best? Because if the schedule doesn't fall that way, what am I supposed to do about it? What difference does it make?
This is a hypothetical conversation. If I was a Sox fan today, I wouldn't have a pep in my step beating that lowly Twins team.
Okay, well, that's because you're not a Sox fan. Okay, you haven't been through that. You haven't been through what I've gone through with the Twins. Okay, so you wouldn't know
that. But that's my point of asking the question. With all you've been through with the Twins, wouldn't sweeping them have meant more if they and their fan base thought they were a better team?
Okay, use the Bulls as an example.
Well, they do. The Twins did go
into
the series.
They've won 12 games. They're in the last place in the division. They can think whatever they want. They suck. Meller said in that meeting, one of the few things he said before the Carmen and Yurko show, said in that meeting when the Twins came in on day one that this is a decimated team that has no hope.
How about when the Bulls put down the Pistons?
Yes, that felt great.
Unbelievable. Like the championship was great. Putting those dirty Pistons down? Come on, man. All right, shot or no shot is coming up next.
15 feet outside.
It was.
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app. That's why I see shot, no shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see
shot, no shot. Brought to you by Points Bet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Points Bet Sportsbook is now open. Download the Points Bet app and stop by Hawthorne Racecourse. Takes 2 minutes and register your account. And we need the 10th caller right now. And you will win $100 in on-site Hawthorne Racecourse wagers. Another $100 in Points Bet Sportsbook wagers. 4 live horse racing programs and 4 branded gift items. You get a really nice package. Maybe you turn the free bets into some cash. All right, Danny.
Gentlemen.
Morning, Danny.
What's up, Hoodie?
We've been watching the replay of Joe Orsolak striking out at a pitch 28 feet outside to clinch the 84 division title.
Come on!
Eric Gregg ringing up a pitch. Yeah. Was so funny.
And there was Steve Stone in his members only jacket.
Correct.
Doused.
Stoney wasn't even in the booth for the last out, Danny. He pulled a hawk. I'm going downstairs. And it was just Harry.
Yeah, Stone left and he's there in the members only red jacket.
Red members only. Remember those jackets?
Remember, do you know those things go for a fortune now?
Really?
Yes. They're like retro. They're coming back in style.
God.
Are they? So they're back, yeah.
Members only. Oh, yeah.
Seen that stuff.
The hipsters in like Wicker Park, Logan Square, they get a red members only jacket. They're the cat's meow.
I had a blue one. It was not a bad jacket.
I had a black one. Yeah.
That's not a bad jacket back then in 84. Good stuff.
Jeez.
I remember they were expensive too.
That's correct.
Yeah, it's quality stuff. A members only jacket and a pair of isotoners, and you were ready to hit the streets. All right, boys, let's talk a little football. Eddie Goldman, he opted out of the 2020 NFL season because of COVID-19. He didn't have it, but he was obviously fearful of it. The Bears do expect his return this season. They're getting back a player who started 63 games in 5 seasons. He was a Pro Bowl alternative. He has 153 tackles, 17 of those for a loss, 12 and a half sacks, 20 quarterback hits in his career. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, aside from drafting Justin Fields, getting Eddie Goldman back on the roster is the biggest addition to the Bears this season.
Yeah, I'm going to say no shot because getting Tevin Jenkins, a fresh 21, 22-year-old guy to play on your offensive line who's really, really talented, that's a huge, huge addition. They've desperately needed it. They have, for far too long, not drafted enough on the offensive line. And plus, getting James Daniels back healthy, who Olin Kreutz told me is the best offensive lineman on that team, and he believes he can be an all-pro. That's how good he is. He had torn, what, a pec or a bye? I think a pec. Mm-hmm. Getting him back healthy and having him, this whole offensive line is going to look radically different. So I'm going to say no shot.
You know what, Zed? It's really the difference between him and, like, Tariq Cohen being a big, you know, name coming back to the Bears, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I will say shot, and it's not no shot at Tariq Cohen. I just think that someone else to be able to get after the quarterback, someone that can bolster the defense, an aging defense, can help. With him being out for a year, that's fresh legs. So I'll say shot to that.
I agree with you, Hoodie. Tevin Jenkins is a big one, but he might turn into Gabe Kareemi. We just don't know.
Whoa!
We know.
Wow.
Listen, Jesus. When they drafted Gabe Kareemi, we were all high on that pick. All I'm saying is you know who Eddie Goldman is. Tevin Jenkins is still an unknown at the NFL level.
My God, you said Gabe Kareemi. That's a nightmare, right?
That's a nightmare.
Nightmare. All right, gentlemen.
All right.
Your mean Mercedes is hitting 382 for your red-hot White Sox hoodie. They have the best record in baseball, but I ask you, shot or no shot, the rookie star is going to come back to Earth someday soon.
That's a shot. That's just part of baseball. Hopefully it won't be this year.
You know,
because it's open-ended, right? It could be any time.
Could be any time.
Yep. Could be any time.
So the interesting thing is I was at the game the other day. Now he's got the 89 Cubs championship plan. Wow.
Fitzgerald.
Brett and I are at the game the other day. And it's, I don't know, 6:10. It's an hour before first pitch. And we're sitting in the stands, and here comes your mean Mercedes. He had been out by the bullpen doing some stretching and everything. Here he comes. That guy plays with so much enthusiasm and joy on his face. He's got the big, huge...
melon?
No.
Hat?
No.
Tattoos?
Karate Kid headband thing that he's wearing, like that big, huge, not like a little headband, like a huge one, like Danielson wore. And he jumps on one of the coaches, and he's in his arms, bear-hugging him, with his legs wrapped around him. Like, this guy's just having fun, man. And yes, he's not going to hit 750 all season, but I think that guy is just a quality, quality guy in that room.
You know why? Because tomorrow's not promised.
To nobody.
All of those days in the minor leagues, and I'm sure he had a lot of fun days in the minor leagues, but he made it, man. So he's just taking a moment in, like, wow, I'm in the big leagues.
He's an example of how we should all live. Like, I don't take for granted 1 second of any moment that I get to walk in this radio station, work with you, do this show, like our meetings, whatever it is. Everyone should live with that boundless enthusiasm. I love it.
What about the meetings, though? I mean, really? I mean, that's probably the worst part of your day.
I love the meetings.
Well, you're a little busy.
He's not there mentally in the meetings, though. I always wonder where you are.
Yeah, I'm there. Trust me.
He's in 1989.
I hear everything.
He's in 1989. You were in Montreal. You were there.
I was not. Danny.
Weren't you there in Montreal?
I was not.
For the Cub?
That is one city I want to visit, though. Danny.
Gentlemen, Major League Baseball and ESPN have agreed to a 7-year extension through the 2028 season. ESPN plans to scale back its weekly in-season coverage of Major League Baseball. ESPN's going to bring back the NHL, and they can't offer exclusive coverage of midweek baseball anymore. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, less midweek baseball on the worldwide leader of sports is a death knell for the sport of baseball.
I will say shot to that, and here's when I saw that story, Cap. Did you read that story through?
I did.
I'm like, so when I was growing up, Monday Night Baseball was a thing, right? For me. Like, oh.
When you were growing up, Stoney was the voice of it.
I recall that.
With Jim Palmer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, on ABC.
Right.
It's like, oh, Monday Night Baseball. They're at Tiger Stadium. This must be big.
Yeah.
Right? So just like Monday Night Football, Monday Night Baseball was big in my home, too. And so to see it scaled back on ESPN where it's just the Sunday night game. Danny, they have one other game too, but nothing in the middle of the week? Nothing.
Correct, because they're going to have NHL games.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that. Where do those games go? Do they fall to FS1? Do they fall off to the app? Where do those midweek games
Everything's going to streaming now anyway, so I got to think that's where a lot of them are headed. Maybe Amazon Prime rides in.
Speaking of streaming, and I just noticed this, last night I was watching SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. They were showing Brewers highlights, and you know how they normally credit Marquee Sports Network or NBC Sports Chicago. You know what the credit was on the Brewers highlights? YouTube. They credited YouTube for the highlights.
YouTube TV.
Crazy.
That's a thing, man.
It's just not the same, man. It's like streaming is one thing. Yes, I know that's where it's going, but people still want to see live television on their cable channel. And it's no baseball on ESPN beside the Sunday night package and maybe a stream here or there on ESPN Plus. It's not the same, JR.
I think the way people consume the product, too, has changed as well. And I think offering it on different platforms may be a boon rather than a detraction here. If you can make it more mobile and I don't have to have the MLB app and I can still access it, yeah, maybe I'm interested.
I just think I'm always in the belief that you have to be able to be everything to everyone. Like some people are just not going to stream those games. You know, try to find your NFL game on Facebook or on YouTube. It's different for sure.
It is.
I'm here for it, but I wonder about that generation of fans that say, what's on ESPN? Oh, it's hockey. Well, I'm a baseball fan. I'm out. Baseball still matters. It's still a revenue-generating sport that people still enjoy.
No question.
As much as we complain about baseball, we're still watching.
Correct. I love baseball.
Yeah.
I'm excited this afternoon. We're home. Get a workout in and put a doubleheader on. Are you kidding?
Sox Royals at 1:30.
There you go. Right here on ESPN 1000. Danny.
All right, gentlemen, Jeannie Buss, the owner of the Lakers, she was on Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson's podcast, All the Smoke. They asked her to name the five most important Lakers in franchise history of all time. Mm-hmm. Obviously, she went with Kareem, she went with Kobe, she went with Magic. She then added LeBron James and Phil Jackson. Gentlemen, I ask you, shot or no shot, LeBron James and Phil Jackson belong on the list of greatest Lakers of all time.
Ahead of Jerry West?
And by the way, Jerry West heard this. He was very offended by it.
So give me the list that she gave again.
List was Kareem. We can't argue
Kareem,
that.
Yes.
Kobe. Can't argue that. Magic. Can't argue that.
Yeah.
She then added LeBron and Phil Jackson. Ooh.
There's some issues there with the logo because he's with the Clippers organization. There's some ill will there.
What about Pat Riley? Like, isn't Pat Riley more important to
the
Lakers
Wilt?
Than Phil?
What about Wilt? What about him?
What about Alex Caruso, for Christ's sake?
All right, get out of here with your Caruso. I covered him in the G League. South Bay Lakers. I was like, look at this guy. Like he's got a headband on. He's balding. I'm like, this is nonsense here.
Shaq more important in Lakers history than LeBron?
Shot.
When LeBron retires,
yes.
When LeBron retires, his time with the Lakers will simply be a footnote to his
career,
he
went off
to
college for a few years.
Phil?
I think Phil's more fitting than LeBron. Like, for me, LeBron's a Heat or a Cavalier.
What about Pat Riley?
Yeah,
Showtime Lakers.
That. Phil should not be on that list of five.
Agreed.
Bulls, yes. Laker, no.
But Phil or LeBron, who's more deserving?
LeBron.
No way. He brought them three championships. He was the coach of the Kobe era.
Well, you know what? If there's no coaches, then it had to be all players. And Wilt and Shaq have to be on that list.
And West.
And West, yes.
How does the logo not make... Like, the logo should be... For me, Kareem is one, Magic is two.
Yeah.
Here's
Kobe
what
three.
Here's what the logo said, by
or
the
West
way.
West three, Kobe four. That's they're right. Right there.
Yeah.
Here's what the logo said. Quote, I saw the other day Jeannie Buss made a statement, the five most important Lakers, one of the most offensive things I've heard in my entire life. I was there a lot of times. I had a lot of success. Be curious to know if they would have had that success if I hadn't been a Laker. He was pissed.
I don't blame him.
How many times did he lose in the finals? Five. Look it up. I mean, just to be clear.
But he got him there.
I mean, I understand that. But, like, West is one of the all-time great Lakers. I'm not disagreeing with that. But, I mean, I think the thing that we like about Jerry West is that he kept failing but just kept getting up, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many times did he lose in the finals, Cap? I want to say, like, four or five.
I am looking
could
here,
be more than
my
that, actually.
Friend. So, in the finals... The finals, he's, okay, he lost to Boston. One, he lost to Boston again.
Two,
he lost to Boston again.
Three,
he lost to Boston again.
Four,
he lost to Boston again.
Five.
He lost to Boston again.
Six.
He lost to the Knicks.
Seven.
He lost to the Knicks again.
Eight.
He lost eight. Eight times.
You're not in the five. No, right. At least he was there, right?
Right.
So that's why he's the look. Because I think the thing that we like about Wes is he kept getting up. After losing against juggernaut teams like the Celtics, right?
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the Knicks, 71. The 71.
That's the Willis Reed deal.
Yeah, so, I mean, at least he kept trying. That's what the perseverance of Wes is the thing that I look at. I thought it was five. You gave me like seven, right? The seven times?
I think it's seven.
Yeah, so.
To bring this to Chicago.
He only won one NBA title. Uno. 1972.
Marv Levy.
To bring right. this to Chicago, if we listed the five most important people in Bulls franchise history, it's obviously MJ. It's obviously Pippen.
Yep.
Phil is 100% on that list.
Yep.
You could argue Rodman,
yeah.
Horace Grant. Where does Derrick Rose come in?
Oh, he's not in the five.
Where's Jerry Sloan or
he's
Norm
not in the
Van
five,
Leer?
But how close to the five is Derek? Is he on very close to the five, or is he not even in the top 10?
What about these pre Bulls Jordan Bulls teams? Sloan's there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Love,
Chet Walker. There are some amazing, talented guys.
You got to narrow it down to five. Think about it, and on the other side of the break, come back, and each of you give us your five.
All right.
Done. Sounds great. We'll take a quick time out. We'll get to that next.
Okay.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
So, Danny asked us for our top five all-time Chicago Bulls. And as I started to think about it, like, think about Jerry Sloan, Hall of Famer. Think about the toughness that team started to take on, that personality, which everyone fell in love with, because this was not a basketball town for a while. It was a high school basketball town. It was not a pro town.
That's correct.
They were drawing flies to the Chicago Stadium. Does Norm Van Leer get a spot on there? I mean, he had a huge role in the change of this team. So who are you putting for your five?
Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Jerry Sloan.
So you say Michael Jordan, then who?
Scottie Pippen.
Yep.
Jerry Sloan.
Yep.
Dennis Rodman.
Yep.
Derrick Rose.
Okay, so I would probably not put Rodman. I would put Michael Jordan. Scottie Pippen, Jerry Sloan, Phil Jackson, Derrick Rose. Phil won six titles here. Rodman was an outstanding defender and rebounder, but that team won before he got here. He He was a great personality, and it was a lot of fun for that run. But I'm leaving him out of the five. He'd be in the top 10.
Take Phil out of there. You know, if Doug could have won with that team.
I don't disagree, but he didn't. That's the point.
I'll give Doug a little bit more of an opportunity. Eventually, he would have broke through.
Agreed.
At least once or twice.
I love Doug.
Yeah.
But he wasn't the coach. Phil was. So I got to give it to Phil. I have to.
Does that make sense, Danny? Or is Chet Walker in there? Seven-time All-Star.
I'm putting Phil in. I think Phil belongs there. I know he was just a coach, but the success that he brought, the stabilizing factor that he was, I really feel Phil belongs.
I guess it would be Bulls figures. Because if it's Bulls figures, then Krause has to be in the top five.
I was just going to say, where do you guys have Jerry Krause?
He absolutely is on that top 10 list.
Yeah. If you were just talking players, I just went players. If you're going to go deeper than that, then Krause has to be on there with Phil.
Krause, Phil, Pippen, Jordan.
Yeah.
And then Mark Randall.
And then Mark Randall
from Kansas.
And Guy Rogers. So there you go.
Johnny Kerr.
So that's how
first
I look
coach.
At it. Yeah. So that's how I would look at it. If we're going non-players, then somehow management has to be in there too.